Title of my sermon today is Our Commitment at Baptism. Reason for this sermon today, over the last couple of years, we have had several people that saw the need to be baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is. And get those andas out. We learned that in Spokesman Club, but I have to work on that. I've been working on that for years. But there are people who are still seeing the reason and thinking about being baptized, that they need their sins forgiven, and the need to receive God's Holy Spirit. And I will go over some of those things about that today, because our Heavenly Father is still calling people. He is still calling people and is preparing those whom He calls, those that have a willing heart. That's what God looks for, is a willing heart and a desire to make a lifelong commitment of obedience. And also to have the determination to be overcomers of sin and their human nature, which is a big battle, but with God's Holy Spirit we can do that. That is what we all agreed to do at baptism, is to be keep our commitment to God for the rest of this physical life. That is exactly what He wants us to do. Now, a commitment means to pledge to some particular course or use, to carry into an action. A pledge it's a promise. It's a promise that has a binding commitment to it. It's a binding agreement. A promise is to engage, to do, or bring about, to provide whatever we said that we promised that we would do. Just the same as your physical marriage to your mate. Marriage is a commitment for life. And so is that commitment that we all make at baptism. That is a commitment for the rest of our life. You know, that sounds like a whole lot to do. And it is a battle. Our transformation is a process. Doesn't happen all at once. God wants us to learn and to be taught and to be tested, to go through different things that are needed to be changed in our life. For we all have to be changed if we want to be in God's kingdom. But we can all do that with God's Holy Spirit living in us after we have been baptized and had hands laid on us to receive God's Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul talks a lot about that. You can put in your notes Acts chapter 19, where he talks about some disciples that he ran across, and they had just been baptized in John's baptism, which is a forgiveness of sins, but they didn't have hands laid on them and didn't know anything about God's Holy Spirit. And he rebaptized them and laid hands on them and got that corrected. So you can read more about that yourself at home. Just put the Acts chapter 19 in your notes there. But here is a scripture that Mr. Keller quotes quite often. He does this mainly at a baptism, and that is Romans chapter 8:31, where it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Powerful words right there. Very powerful words coming from our Creator God, that if He is for us, who could be against us? He is all-powerful. He is almighty. And in verse 33, he says, who can bring charge against God's elect? Well, Satan tries that every day. Because we all sin every day, Satan is going to and fro, marching back and forth, and he goes up to God the Father and says, "Look, I saw so-and-so do this. You know, what a hypocrite." And he is against us completely. He wants us to die. He wants us to give up. But God says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." And then in verse 34, "It was Christ who died for us, and has risen and is at the right hand of God the Father and is making intercession for us. Now, Satan goes to and fro, and he is trying to tag us with something constantly. But Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us, those that God the Father has called. This is our faith, and this is our trust, and this is our hope that we can count on. We can depend on God. We can depend on Jesus Christ making intercession for us at the right hand of God. Why? Because God is preparing a people to live with him forever. Very, very, very important things for us to come to the realization. We're stuck in this physical form, and a lot of times, you know, we just think in the physical ways. But we need to be thinking beyond that. What this life here is for, it's a time of learning, a time of choosing, a time of realizing that the real living, of course, you know, is going to be after we're changed into a spirit being, just as God the Father and Jesus Christ are. But that is God's purpose. He is calling people to be in his family. And that is the main reason why we were created in the first place. He knew us before he formed us in the womb. You heard me say this many times. He has known us. Before we were born, he knows us better than we know ourselves now. We have had several baptisms in our congregations over the past couple of years, as I mentioned. And in doing so, we always explain what it means to be buried in the water, which is a symbolic thing that we do to go into the water, and the old self dying is what it is picturing. And then we are brought up out of the water, a symbolic resurrection, not to be the old person that we were, but to start our new life in obedience to God and keeping the commitment that we made. And that is part of God's purpose as well, too. And that commitment is that we will obey, we will follow and seek God in this new life. We don't want to be the old person that we were, full of sin. Because when you go down in the water and you come back up, all of your past sins are forgiven. Being baptized will not keep us from sinning or having problems, though, will it? As long as we are in our fleshly bodies, we will all sin every day because we still have that human nature in us that we have to battle. And we must repent every day. When we realize in our mind that we have sinned, we need to go into prayer instantly right there, asking God forgiveness, and he will forgive us, and he does forgive us. We belong to him. And we must be very, very sincere about our repentance. We just can't, you know, just be casual and say, well, you know, I messed up again, did this again, oh, ha, 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 ha. No, no. He wants us to be very, very sincere to want to overcome any sins that we have in our lives. We don't want to go back into the snake pit, so to speak, of living the way Satan wants us to go back into. We have problems in our life, and we will, and this gives us an opportunity to put our faith and trust in God. That's what every problem that we have. It gives us an opportunity to show our faith and trust in God. And on the other hand, it gives God the opportunity to give his grace and favor to us. It is a two-way action there. God will help us through our problems. He wants us to grow. He wants us to change. There has to be a change done before we are completely changed into a spirit being. Well, this life is for learning how to live the right way and forever. Live the right way now and forever in the character of our Creator God. And we must learn how to choose rightly. Everything we do in every waking moment is going to be a choice. It is a choice. But with God's Holy Spirit living in us and working with Jesus Christ, working with us and leading us along. And if we are having a willing heart, depending on Him to do this, that is part of God's will. And we will be tested. We will be tested along the way. That is part of it. God is our Father. It's like our little children. When we teach them not to cross the street by themselves without knowing what is going on, we want to correct them. And our Heavenly Father will correct us and put us in the right path with good correction. He knows our frame. He's not going to punish us more than we can stand or put on us more than we can stand. He loves us. Well, you know, the book of James, you all have gone into a bookstore and have bought books on how to do something, whether it's to be a carpenter or fix the electrical switches in your house or whatever it is. There are how-to books. Well, the book of James is a how-to book of Christian life. Again, we have all read these how-to books. But even though we are still in the flesh, our Father God wants us to live in the Spirit. He wants us to go ahead and practice living in the Spirit. And the book of James is a very, very good book to help you along with that. It's a book about Christian life. And we want to review a few things that we want to get into before we get into a few things here about James. But if you will turn to Galatians chapter 5 about living in the Spirit. James chapter 5, and you have read these over and over, and Pat and I have these on our refrigerator door, and you probably do too. But it's Galatians 5, 22 through 25. And also Mr. Petty has done sermons on each one of these. But we need to think more constantly about the fruits of the Spirit, because that's the way that we need to be practicing living in the Spirit. And that is love. Well, why do we do that? Because God is love. That's what He wants us to have in our hearts, and not having hatred and only thinking of self. He wants us to have joy. The kind of joy knowing that we can depend on God, our Heavenly Father, to bring us through and what He has planned for us in store, to be living with Him forever. That's the kind of joy He wants us to have every day, looking forward to that. He wants us to have peace in our heart and our mind, knowing that we can depend on Him to bring us through every situation that there is. We don't have to worry. He doesn't want us to worry about anything or to fear anything. Long-suffering. He wants us to be patient. Patient with each other. Because He wants us to learn to love others better than ourselves even. Kindness. That's the attitude we all need to have. Kindness for each other. And not thinking, well, you know, I just really don't like that person's attitude. I don't like the way that they talk to me, or I feel like they have snubbed me. We need to have kindness on every situation that there is, because we want to have love for others. And goodness. We want to be doing good things for other people. Faithfulness, always depending on God and being obedient to God. Gentleness, it's so easy to be harsh, so easy to jump at a conclusion. We need to be have gentleness about us and think things through before we jump up and speak. Self-control, that ties in with gentleness as well too. We need to have self-control, knowing that we know God's laws. We know that we need to be loving others and have that self-control of not taking actions against others. Against such, it tells us that there is no law. We live a life like that. That is living in the Spirit. God wants us to practice living in that Spirit right now. And in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Yes, when we go down into that baptismal water, all of our past sins are forgiven. We have crucified our old self. and with all of our passions and desires. And we come up out of that water to be a new person, to be living in the Spirit of God. And these are the attributes that we just talked about that is contained in God's Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He wants us to live right now, living in the Spirit. Practicing that. We have to fight against our human nature. We have to make these changes in our life. And God is teaching us how to do it with depending on Him to lead us and guide us with His Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't need to do that because it's all between you and God. We need to think about that, about living in the Spirit. Let's turn back just a few pages to Galatians chapter 2:20. Galatians 2:20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. That's what we did at baptism. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What wonderful words these are, that we can depend on the blood of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for all of our sins, for all humanity. How wonderful that is. Well, the book of James also tells us that we will have trials and points out the dangers that come with them. Now, there are dangers if we are depending on ourselves. And through the examples that James gives, we are instructed on things to be aware of, such as failing to put our trust in our Heavenly Father and not enduring. You know, if we put our trust in ourselves, we no longer have faith in God. We're depending on our judgments. We're depending on our thoughts. We're depending on our ways. But James speaks of such subjects as prejudice, improper speech, judging one another, not too much love when we're judging one another, or leaving God out of our plans. When we are wanting to do something all through the day, well, God, I'm planning on doing this. What do you think? How would you want me to go with my plans today, what I'm thinking about? Would this be a problem? Or even if it comes down to depending on yourself, you're going to have to deal with bitterness that will set in. Something that Satan likes to broadcast to everyone. Why don't you give up, is what Satan says. Why don't you just give up? You know, you're only going to live once, and you might as well live it good right now. And bitterness will set in and make you angry with yourself and with everyone else, and especially with God. If you don't think, you know, that the things that you want to do will turn out wrong, You better be depending on God instead of on yourself. But the main issue that you'll find when you do your Bible study in the book of James, he points out in his epistle, and it's mainly, I think, the crux of it. He is talking about faith and works. James says, faith without works is dead, indicating that it was faith that was once alive, that you once depended on God, but then you started thinking with your own thoughts of how you would do things. For James, works is a natural result of faith. They both tie together. Let's do this. Let's turn to James chapter 2, right after Hebrews, James chapter 2. Let's start in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What has your faith profited? If you just say that to somebody when they're in need and you have the means to provide it. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Yes, there is one God. Only one that has the power, the one that created us and everything that there is. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. Well, you know, in verse 19 there, talks about the demons, that they believe and they tremble. Even the demons know that there is one God. You know, you can read about all the different little g gods that are people believing in and trusting in that do nothing. But they do not love God. Their kind of belief does not lead to love or submission, you know, of turning over your life to the one who created it, or obedience. Instead, the demons, their belief leads to hatred, rebellion, and disobedience. Verse 20, but do you want to know, old foolish man? When it talks about the word foolish there, foolish just means empty-headed or ignorant or not knowing, that faith, again, without works is dead. Verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Faith and works should and do go together. If they don't go together, there's something wrong in your thinking. Those are a very close relationship between the two. One goes with the other. Faith produces works, and works makes faith perfect, meaning mature or complete. And we must have both of those going on in our lives. That's part of living in the Spirit. Also in Hebrews, you can just jot this one down. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, the just shall live by faith, depending on God, following God, submitting to God, obeying God, pray for God's will to be done in your life. The just shall live by faith. And also in Ephesians, let's turn back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, right after Galatians. And let's read verses 8 through 10. Galatians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourself. No, your own thinking won't get it. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, if anyone should say, well, you know, I did this on my own, and I corrected myself, I didn't need God to help me out here. God wants your plans talked over with him. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so what are these good works that we should be walking in? We should be walking in the fruits of the Spirit. Go back over your notes that Mr. Petty gave for each one of those. He really put them into depth. A lot for us to grab hold of, a lot to instill in our hearts and our minds to go over and to live our lives. And the book of James gives us hope in just a few words. He talks about the responsibilities that we have as a Christian. And he has a step-by-step instructions on how to be a Christian. I won't be going through a whole lot of the book of James here. We've talked briefly about it. But the advantage of this how-to book will it will help you to have your attitude changed and get you on the path of how you should think through your daily life. It's a great personal Bible study that you can do on your own at home. It's something that you're going to take some practice. Going to take some practice to learn how to be the kind of person, the kind of Christian that we are called to be. And again, God the Father is the one that calls us, and Jesus Christ is the one that works with us every day. And I'm speaking of those who choose to live the rest of their lives overcoming sin and developing righteous character. And after you're baptized, we are to be growing in grace and knowledge, learning more daily about what God wants us to do and how we are to live our lives. And we are to be growing in grace and knowledge, and we want to possess the coming kingdom of God, to be part of God's coming kingdom, and want to become kings and priests, if you can imagine that. Become kings and priests, reigning with Christ at his return. This is our desire when we made our commitment at baptism. We want to have our sins forgiven. We want to rise up out of the water and learn to live as God wants us to be, a new person completely. That is the commitment that we made, is to make a change in our lives. And again, Satan is against you. Satan will work as hard as he can constantly to get you to fall. But how can we avoid that? We need to be eating God's spiritual food every day. Don't let a day go by. Good time to eat breakfast is the spiritual food that you open your Bible to bright and early in the morning. That spiritual food will set your day for you. The reason for our own existence is to be born as spirit beings into the family of God. Again, that is the real reason why that God created us in the first place. He is harvesting humans to be in his family. That is the purpose that our Creator created us for. Now, and again, we must grow in grace and knowledge. We must be trained in God's character. Or we could fall back into a sinful life that we came from. And probably even worse. Probably even worse. The only thing that will cause God not to hear our prayers are our sins. Repent daily. Clear the slate constantly. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. I know when we are counseling somebody for baptism, as a matter of fact, I ask them to read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and also some of the booklets like Transforming Your Life, The Road to Eternity, different booklets. But let's turn to Romans chapter 6. And let's start in verse 15 through 19. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And the answer real quick is certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death, you know, we can be obedient to Satan and it will lead to our permanent death if we don't repent, or of obedience leading to righteousness. What is righteousness? Learning to choose rightly under God's laws, under God's obedience. Learning the character of God, living His way of life. That is righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And then in verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That's what happened at baptism. Under the water, all your past sins forgiven, come up to be a person that is being a slave to righteousness, not a sinful life. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. We humans are the base things. Of course, we were created in the image of God, but we have a whole lot to learn about God's character. So in the weakness of our flesh, Paul is speaking here us being in the flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness and holiness. Has to be a big change in our lives. Has to be a big change. Now, when you're baptized and all your past sins are forgiven and you are raised to a new person, that is the start of your real learning and living. That is the beginning of your transformation, the real beginning, because you have Jesus Christ working with you. God's Holy Spirit gives you the power, and who can go against you if God is for you? If God is for you, who can be against you? And now let's turn to Romans 8, page over. Romans 8. Let's read verses 14 through 17 to start with. 14 through 17. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are described as the sons of God if we have God's Holy Spirit living in us. And we also know that if we don't have God's Holy Spirit living in us, we don't belong to God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Wonderful news that we can make changes in our life. Let's drop down to verse 30. Drop down to verse 30. Moreover, whom He, speaking of God, predestines, these He has called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. You know, we are set apart. We are set apart. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. Actually, never did. But we are owned by the price that Jesus Christ paid for us and made it possible for us to be on the road to make changes in our life, to lead and go on into God's coming kingdom as spirit beings. How wonderful of a change that is. And then in Acts 2.38, we have all read Acts 2.38, but let's turn back one chapter there, or one book there, that is. Turn to 2.38. And let's read verses 38 and 39. Peter is there talking, and he says, then Peter said to them, he says, repent. Repent. Turn from your sins is what he's talking about. Get your mind off of breaking God's law. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? For the remission, the removal of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We also know that, you know, after baptism, you will receive God's Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands. That's when you actually receive God's Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter, let's turn back more toward the back of the book there, 2 Peter chapter 3. Not in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read verses 14 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, having peace of mind, knowing that we can depend on God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Have peace of mind, settle that in your mind, without spot or blameless. We don't want to have any sins in our life. We want to repent. We want to turn from all of those and ask God for forgiveness so that we are blameless when Satan and his demons are trying to accuse us of all sorts of things. In verse 15 there, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. We will have salvation, be saved of, and have eternal life. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Verse 16, also in all of his epistles, all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to understand. Yes, you can read through some of the writings of Paul, and you have to stop and do some research. You have to stop and do some thinking about what he's saying there. He was probably in a real hurry, probably when he was writing these things. He had so much that he wanted to do for the days that God had for him. And hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. You have heard of a lot of people saying, well, you know, I don't like this commandment, so I'll just omit that one. It doesn't fit my lifestyle. Because they are bent on doing what their will is and not what God's will is. And they twist the scriptures to fit them, to their destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. They will go through the scriptures and they will cast out what they think don't fit them. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. And there's a warning there. You don't want to fall from your own steadfastness and beliefs and the things that you have proven in the Bible. You know, we are to prove all things ourself in the Bible. Don't listen to other people speak and expound on something. But God wants us to open the Bible. He wants us to read those things ourselves. He wants us to prove those things ourselves. Being led away with the error of the wicked. We don't want to lose our steadfastness. We want to stay close to God. Stay close to God and know his word. Verse 18, but grow, we talked about this earlier, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Know what he did for all humanity. Know where he came from to come do this job and what he went through. Because he and God the Father loved us so much that he gave himself for us, went through that terrible trial of living in the flesh just to be the ultimate sacrifice to pay for all the sins of all humanity. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of what Jesus did. To him be the glory, both now and forever. What a wonderful, wonderful show of love and mercy for us humans. Again, we were made in the image of God, but we weren't thinking like God. You and I, the called, are in this process of conversion. We're all at different levels. We are all learning the things that we need to overcome. And it's a battle for us all day long, but we need to know that Jesus Christ, and through the power of God's Holy Spirit, Jesus is on the job 24 hours a day interceding for us with God the Father. And they are wanting us to plan our lives, this physical life that we're living, around being obedient to God's will and His laws and His truth. In 2 Peter 3, verses 14, Peter tells us how we should be living our lives that we just went over when God looks at us, and He does. He checks on us. He wants to see how we're doing. You know, and we think, well, you know, why do we have to examine ourselves so much at the Passover? Well, it's kind of like a benchmark, because God wants us to see how we are doing, and He already knows day by day how we're doing, but He wants us to use that benchmark of a year to see how we are doing, so that we can see if we have made any progress over the past year. And if we haven't, we had better be thinking about that. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge, to make changes, and He wants to see how we're doing. He does that daily. And He wants us to know that we need to be making these changes daily. And Peter also gives us a warning that we are to grow in that grace and knowledge, or we could fall. We could fall back into the life that we came from. We know it is God's desire that all humans become members of His family and be in the kingdom of God. And who knows when that is going to come? God the Father, only God the Father, and to make it in simple terms, you've heard us say this before too, God the Father has His foot ready for the brake and ready for the gas pedal. He can speed up prophecy or He can slow it down depending on what He desires. And only God the Father knows when He will turn, of course, to Jesus and say, it's time to go back. Time to bring an end to this and time to set up the kingdom of God. We need to be preparing for that. We need to be getting ready. God is giving us all the tools that we need in this book, and also all the scriptures that we read and the sermons that we hear. We have a wealth of knowledge in this end time that we can draw from. He wants us to do that. And it's God's will that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Really understand what Jesus went through to do this for us. Some people are giving up their will, which is good. They're giving up their will and they are turning to God. And they need to be comforted and helped along the way. And with the love that we're supposed to show to one another, we are supposed to help them along that way, to want to have God's Holy Spirit living in them, to be making that transformation, getting ready for God's coming kingdom. Jesus the Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, he is in the resurrection at Christ's return. We know that Christ has revealed to us, the overcomers, that we'll be like Him. He doesn't lie. We will be changed to be spirit beings. That is in the process of us learning. Those who have died in faith will be resurrected at that time, and those that are alive in the faith will be changed. Both will become spirit beings and be in the family of God and serve as kings and priests. Again, you know, what an imagination we can have about that, becoming kings and priests to rule during Christ's millennial rule, to be helping others and teaching others to want to make that change as well too. I won't read it, but you can put it in your notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 53. Read those when you get home. It'll tell you more, of course, about that. And you've read it over and over, but read it again. God teaches in repetition. We don't want to teach anything new. you will not be hearing anything new. We only want to teach in repetition God's word over and over because we humans forget. We humans take it for granted sometimes. We humans need to be revisited with the things that we made promises with at our baptism. Yes, you can imagine yourself serving as kings and priests. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 through 26, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.' Why? Because he wants to hold on to the things that he thinks that he has blessed himself with. A lot of humans will think, well, hey, you know, I went out there and worked real hard. It was because of me, and that's how I got these blessings. And they might even become rich in doing so or think they're rich. But in reality, they are broken naked. We have read that. And then verse 24, "And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Then in verse 25, it says, "When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, 'Wow, who then can be saved?'" After what Jesus said. But Jesus had the answer. In verse 26, "But Jesus looked at them and he said to them, 'With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.'" If we are in obedience, depending on God, if we have our faith in God and our trust in him, we can be changed. We can be changed and receive even more blessings from God. All good blessings come from God. We don't make our own blessings. And you've heard me say this before as well, too. There's no such thing as a coincidence. Nothing happens unless God allows it. God gives us the blessings of this life. Without him, we don't even have the next breath. All good blessings come from God. So everything is possible with God. And if we have that willing heart and wanting to change and wanting to be like him, yes, we can do it. We can overcome this human nature. We can overcome this life that we're living in with all the horrendous things that are happening around us, all of the dangers. So then, yes, we can imagine being kings and priests in God's kingdom and serving, of course, with Christ. And God will give us the wisdom and the power that we need. All things are possible with him. We may think, well, you know, what do I know about being a king or a priest? Well, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we'll be able to do anything that he wants us to do. We will have that wisdom and that power giving to us or anything else that he wants us to do. We don't know what it is going to be like to be able to travel through the universe, to do things that God wants us to do. There are so many things that he hasn't told us about because he says, you don't need to know these things now. It's what you need to know right now is how to get from here to God's coming kingdom. And that is to overcome our human nature, self-centeredness, have to learn how to love others better than ourselves, need to be obedient, have God in all of your plans, live by God's Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, grow in grace and knowledge. That's what we need to know about right now. We don't need to know about maybe traveling from one planet to another. He'll tell us more about that later and with much greater things as well. So in closing, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, has called us and he has allowed us to be alive right now. Yesterday is dead and gone. He wants to know what we're going to do with our life from this second forward. He is looking at us. He wants us to have that willing heart to follow him. He wants us to grow in that grace and knowledge of his Son, Jesus the Christ, to be prepared to do wonderful works of God because he called us for good works, and to reiterate again, at our baptism, we made a commitment to live the rest of our lives seeking and obeying Him. And He has made a commitment to us that He will give us eternal life. And we know that God will keep His commitment. Here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Me and you has to make sure that we will keep our commitment. Let's make sure we are keeping the commitment that we made at baptism to be obedient to God for the rest of our lives. And this life, hello, and this life that we live, that we're living right now, is very fast. Things are changing. Things are rolling by. Prophecies are happening. Of course, you know, only God the Father knows when He will turn to Jesus and say, it's time to return. Let's make sure me and you keep our commitment that we made at baptism.